Blog Talk Radio.
Are you due for a relationship makeover? If you had the power to wave a magic wand, would you use it to improve your relationship? Well, there may be some hope. You're about to embark upon a journey. A journey that may prove to be vital in improving your relationship, whether it be with your spouse, significant other, children, co-worker, family, friends, or even yourself. A journey that if you simply open your mind to desiring a positive change in your relationship by listening to this show, it just might happen. You're about to take a journey into the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Warning, warning. The show can be contagious.
Well, hello once again, and welcome to this edition of the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. I'm your host. I'm Dr. Jesse Walker. I'm going to be with you for the next 60 minutes. We've got a great show planned for you tonight. I am really excited to be here, and I trust that you are as well. So we're certainly looking forward to it, and we're about to get ready just about now. I should be joined momentarily by my co-host this evening, Ms. Audrey Blake. She's going to be calling in and tuning in with us this evening. So we're so grateful to have you all this evening. It's a wonderful show. Let me go ahead and get some housekeeping out of the way right now as I speak, because we're going to have numerous guests I anticipate being on the air tonight, provided we don't have any technical difficulties, which we were experiencing earlier. I have a book out. It's called After the Passion, Now What? We're certainly, it's on sale. You can order a copy from my website, or you can simply go to my post office box and send by snail mail and send a check or money order there. We'll get a book out to you within 24 hours. I have life coaching services that are state-of-the-art, and it's very affordable. So if you want to really get your life on fast track, give us a call at 954-367-6766. 954-367-6766. We also have the publication that comes out every week. It's called Your Inspirational Weekly Publication, and it's a spiritual publication that's an extension of my Friday night broadcast, the Your Half-Hour Inspirational Program. It's a component of that. So tonight we've got a great show planned for you. I'm certainly looking forward to it, and it's actually part two of the show that we did on last week. It's part two of what we did last week, so we're certainly looking forward to that. You can also get a copy of my co-host information, Audrey Blake, simply by going to her website, and she will be able to come on board this evening and give you some information relative to that. So we've got a lot planned for you this evening. We've got some very good surprises that are coming up, some very good topics for shows also that people have been requesting, you know, sending in information. And I'll just give you maybe three of those. One is an upcoming show we're going to be dealing with, how to deal with issues in your relationship, how to deal with certain issues in your relationship. That ought to prove to be a very interesting topic, because Every relationship, whether you're dating, married, siblings, parents and children, children and parents, every relationship has some issues. And what we want to be able to do is to help you to address some of these things that are out there when it comes to relationships. So you will not be disappointed. I can assure you, you will not be disappointed as you tune in for the various shows that are forthcoming or upcoming, I should say. Another show that we're going to have is if one party wants to leave the marriage or relationship, should you really try to force them to stay? If one party wants to leave the marriage or relationship, should you try to force them to stay? And then Another upcoming show is, if the relationship does not fit, should you force it? If it doesn't fit, should you force it? So these are a number of shows that are coming up, and we have so many more topics out there that we're certainly looking forward to doing. Once again, you're listening live to the Dr. Jesse Walker Show, 347-857-1769. We're going to go ahead and bring in my co-host at this time, all the way from Atlanta or wherever it is in the world she's traveling from. We're going to bring in Ms. Audrey Blake. Ms. Blake, welcome to the show this evening. Thank you for joining me.
Hi, Dr. Walker. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful. Thank you for joining me this evening. It's always good to have you on the air with me. It's always a pleasure. How are you this evening?
Oh, just wonderful. Looking forward, as always, to a great discussion with tonight's show.
Okay, great, great, great. Just for my new audience, why don't you tell them a little bit about yourself, how they can get in touch with you, a phone number, email address, website, you know, about your book, so forth. Go ahead.
Sure. I am the author of the book Falling in Love with Me, M.E., which stands for Mutual Enhancement. It's a book about relationships, and it just may be the best little book you'll ever read, in addition to Dr. Walker's book, of course. I'm also a certified professional life coach, and a lot of people have been asking me, Dr. Walker, what's life coaching? And my particular life coaching is, I tell people, if you're procrastinating about something, stressed out, and you want a plan, I help you get there stress-free and terminating that procrastination. So to find out more about my services and the company that I'm the CEO of, Foster Leadership and You, FLY, just go to the website at fosteringleaders.org. And you'll get great information on life coaching packages, books, and how to book me for a speaking engagement as well.
That sounds really, really good. I have read your book, and it's a very good book, and I highly recommend it to all of our listening audience out there. It's a very good book, and I can assure you that components of that book will stay with you, whether you're married, dating, contemplating dating, or any of that type of thing. It's a very good book, so take advantage of that. I want to go ahead and say that we've got some very good things coming up, some things that I'm working on, particularly for my co-host that will hopefully will manifest. I anticipate them to manifest early sometime next year, and we're looking to broaden the horizon by being out there and growing the show. So that's something to certainly look forward to. Are you ready, Ms. Blake, for tonight's story?
I certainly am.
Okay, this is actually a continuation from last week, part two. And we're going to reiterate the same story tonight and ask some of the similar questions, but certainly some of the other questions as well. Our characters tonight, once again, are Xavier, Yvette, and Zena. Now, after six months in a monogamous relationship with Yvette, Xavier, of course, decided to call it quits, citing it was impossible to deal with her. They both had issues trying to communicate. The interesting thing is, during their first 3 months of meeting and dating, everything seemed to be perfect. That is, until the appearance of the novelty, or the newness, as they would say, wore off, and the real people showed up. Now, you named it, and they both compared each other to it and complained about it. The relationship became extremely toxic and ended abruptly in spite of the couple claiming to be in love. Now, after about 4.5 weeks, Xavier met Zena through a mutual friend and started dating her. The initial stages of the relationship actually were better than the initial stages with his previous relationship with Yvette. Now, 4 months into the relationship now with Zena, things started going in a totally different direction that appeared worse than the relationship he had had with Yvette. Once again, at the age of 37 and a multitude of broken relationships, Xavier just could not understand why relationships are so difficult. Now, Zena decided to break it up with him, and now he questioned whether it would be worth it to jump into another relationship for a while as he pondered if all women are basically the same. That's what he was starting to think. The question that we'll start out tonight with is, what do you think caused the most problems in a relationship? The male, who do you think, I should say, caused the most problems in a relationship, the male or the female? And then another question will be followed up by, do you think that relationships are actually, in fact, complicated or difficult? If so, why or why not? Let me start with you, Ms. Blake. Who do you think caused the most problems in a relationship, male, the man or the woman? The boy or the girl?
Oh, wow. Well, as a woman, I'm a little biased, and so my first reaction is to say the man, of course. But ultimately, as those who have read my book can tell you, the woman may be the one at fault. So there's not a clear-cut answer on that. It's a personality thing more so than the gender.
Okay. Do you think then that but I don't think it's a 50-50 thing. I think, and I agree with you, I think it depends on each relationship is so different. And I think that men can be as troublesome as perhaps they view a woman to be. And, of course, vice versa. You know, women can be as troublesome as they project or foresee the man to be. Let's go to the phone lines early tonight, and we're going to go to 305-684. Welcome to the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. You're on the air live.
This is
how
Tim.
You doing? Who do we have with us this evening?
It's Tim again.
Tim, thank you for joining us. Tim, who do you think is more problematic? Who causes more problems in a relationship, the man or the woman,
the boy or the girl? Unlike Ms. Blake, I'm a lot biased, and I think it's the women. They're hard-headed, first of all.
Okay.
I mean, it's simple. Keep the man happy and everything is good. But women are so hard-headed, it's a little crazy sometimes. I mean,
wow.
You know,
well, Tim, you sound like you're from the old school where the woman is supposed to be obedient. When you say hard-headed, you think I usually associate that with children being hard-headed. So
well,
tell us,
no,
how do you define?
I'm from the caveman old school.
And what does that mean exactly?
That means women are to only do what a man asks them to do, not to even talk unless they're being talked to.
Oh, my.
Oh, my goodness, Tim. I mean, wow, you're going to really get some people. Ms. Blake, I'm going to let you go ahead and respond to him.
Okay.
Even though I think Tim is teasing. Even though I think Tim is teasing.
Oh, well, you know what? Tim may or may not be joking because, as I say, I talk to a lot of people here in Atlanta, and I've gotten that response as well, that whole thing about, you know, women have drama and they just really need to do what the man says and take care of the man and everything will be fine. But I have news for you, Tim. It's not a man's world.
Wow, wow.
Really?
Okay.
How did you figure that out?
Well,
in all seriousness, I've been told that women have drama, and some of us are emotional creatures. Okay, most of us are emotional creatures.
All of you are.
Yes, I confess. I'll acknowledge that on behalf of my gender. But also, relationships have to be mutually enhancing. It's a two-fold thing. And if you want to take it from a biblical stand, you know, men love your women like Christ loved the church. So while a woman can do things to make her man happy, a man should always have her number one interest at heart.
Okay, that sounds like it makes some sense. It makes a lot of sense, in fact. But, Tim, let me ask you this question in reference to our story tonight. And, of course, tonight's topic is why are relationships so difficult? Let me ask this question, then I want to throw another question out there. Do you think that, I mean, here's this guy, Xavier, he's 37, he's had a multitude of relationships, and he went from Yvette, the novelty wore off with Yvette after the first 3 to 4 months. Then he met Zena a few weeks later, and then that novelty wore off. And now he's wondering if all the women are the same. Do you think the problem could be with Xavier?
No, Xavier's the man. It's never the man's fault.
Well,
No, Dr. Walker, Ms. Blake. I'm just kidding around.
Okay. All right. But in this case, do you think it could be? Do you think it could be?
Go ahead, Doc.
No, go ahead. Do you think it could be Xavier's fault in this case?
Yeah, I think it could be Xavier's fault. Xavier must be doing something wrong if he's going through all these women and 3 or 4 months later, same problem keeps coming up. Is something wrong with Xavier? You know, I was told that if you have quite a few people coming to you telling you the same thing, that you need to look at yourself and not look at the problem that you think it is. The problem must be coming from you instead of coming from outside.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes to relationships, it's an individual thing. It could be the man's fault. It could be the woman's fault. Who knows? Nobody knows but those two people what the problem
is. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let me ask both of you all, who do you think, why do you think relationships are so difficult? Or, in fact, do you believe that they are so difficult? Kim, let me start with you. Do you believe that relationships are difficult, and why, if so?
And relationships are the hardest thing in the world to do because it's first of all, relationships is all about compromise. You have to compromise on almost everything to keep a relationship going. I don't know how you're going to keep it happy. You sometimes each person will eventually sometimes and just bite the bullet and say, okay, I was wrong. The other one might have to bite the bullet and say I was wrong, knowing that they were right. So it's a compromise thing, and relationships are just very, very difficult because it's another person involved. And it's not just your feelings that you have to deal with.
So you do agree then that relationships are difficult, and you've said they're perhaps the most difficult thing that you'll ever deal with.
Yeah.
All right, Ms. Blake, do you agree with that? First of all, do you find that relationships are so difficult, and if so, why do you think they're so difficult?
Well, I'm going to give this answer. Relationships are only difficult because they involve people. And so, people make it difficult. We make things complicated. Life is not as complex as we make it. But you got to think about it from a psychological perspective and a cultural perspective. You're bringing people from different backgrounds together. And it does not matter how many similarities they appear to have in their background. They still have different personalities. And you're
right.
Blending that and trying to make that into something sane.
Mm. Do you think go ahead, Tim, go ahead.
No, I was just saying I like that last part, making two personalities sane, which is almost impossible at times.
Right.
Right.
And if you bring somebody in that's not quite all there, you have an even greater challenge.
Do you think that the other animal kingdom, let's say birds, tigers, bears, do you think they go through, and I heard you mention, prefixing by saying humans, because you're putting humans together. Do you think the other animal kingdom, those birds, tigers, bears, lions, do you think that they have difficulty in their relationships, or do they have a relationship?
No, they don't
have
difficulty.
Right, they don't have difficulty.
They know their place.
You're right.
But I mean, think about it. That's true. They know their place. They know what they're supposed to do. The lioness, she knows that she's supposed to look after the cubs and hunt and eat the lion. And the lion knows that he's supposed to take care of the prize.
Hmm. What do you think, Ms. Blake?
I mean, that works for the animal kingdom. But,
Again,
as I said earlier, human beings, we are more complex than that.
We're much more complex than that.
Much more, yes.
Mm-hmm.
But the question was, do you think have that problem?
You say they do not?
No. The question was, do we think animals have the problem?
Relationship problems.
Well, correct. No, they don't. Because they know their part and they do it.
But you know what? Members of that animal kingdom, they are, that wildlife in particular, the males are known to dominate. And the difference, I think, is the reasoning that we as humans are supposed to exercise. Where in the animal kingdom, particularly in the wild animal kingdom, from my understanding and observation of it, the male tends to dominate in a lot of cases, you know, to take what they want. And, I mean, they can overpower that female. And so the female, it seems that she just kind of gives in. We don't live, you know, our civil society does not permit that, and that's not the right thing to do anyway. Wouldn't you agree, Ms. Blake?
Absolutely. It's not the right thing to do. But, again, that was a question.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I think there's no comparison because, again, we are a higher functioning species.
Okay. All right. Let's go to another question here about tonight's story with Xavier, Yvette, and Zena. When it comes to relationships being difficult or complicated, do you think that the dynamics of most relationships wear off within, Tim, let me address this to you. Do you think that most dynamics of a relationship tend to wear off after 3 to 6 months, and why? I mean, why do people tend to sometimes pique other interests after such a short span of time?
Probably because after 3 or 4 months that the real person show up. At the beginning of a relationship, you're taking it really slow. You're showing a lot less of you. And once you start getting comfortable, the real you start to come out in most people. I'm not going to say in all people, but most people. Things start coming out that wasn't there in the beginning that the other person may not like, may not be able to deal with. And that person is like, okay, well, it's time to maybe... this wasn't what I was looking for. So maybe it's time for me to move on, find something that I was looking for, which that's another question that's hard to deal with itself. You know, why do I keep moving on trying to find the perfect person? Is there a perfect person in a relationship?
Mm-hmm.
No.
Well, I think there's a person that's perfect for that individual. You know,
correct.
They're not perfect in themselves, but they're perfect for each other.
And I think a lot of times, too, is we get with these people and we feel like we can not change them, but maybe groom them into what we want them to be or the perfect person we want them to be. And that never works out either.
Right. Mm-hmm. You know,
well,
Tim and Dr. Walker,
go ahead.
You know, one of my favorite shows, and I've been told it's old, it's this game show called Baggage, and I don't know if anybody's ever seen it on TV. And I think that relationships should start out like the game show. And it's where the contestants or the potential suitors just put all their baggage out there. And so before you narrow down to trying to really build a relationship, you know, just put it on out there. Tell people the worst of you. Because what we tend to do is put the best foot forward, and then over time, we may feel comfortable about revealing some of our not-so-pleasant traits, or they show up anyway. So why don't
Correct.
You start out saying, you know what, I got issues. And
uh-huh.
let that person kind of accept, okay, we put this baggage right out here in the front. You know, I may have to write a book on it, Dr. Walker. But, and now let's decide if we want to work on this together.
Okay.
Right. Not many people are going to do that because put your baggage out there first. They may run that person away right at the beginning.
All right. What I would like to do right here, and those are some very good points. What I want to do right here is after this commercial break, you're listening live to the Dr. Jesse Walker Show, 347-857-1769. You can also listen on line at drjessewalkerinc.com or drjessewalker.com. To read some components of my food for thought that we did on this show before, and I want us to speak to various components of that, and I will ask you all that. We're going to do the format a little different this evening. And it's based pretty much on tonight's topic, why are relationships so difficult or complicated? And, of course, these were excerpts from my food for thought. I do know, and I'm sure there are those out there that will agree, relationships do not come without issues. We've already clarified that. They also come with challenges, crisis, problems, or whatever term you use to define your frustration with your significant other. Now, the question or concern, I think, becomes how much are you willing to deal with or cope with in order to try and make the relationship work, or even decide if the relationship really is worth the headache or frustration? Let me begin with you, Tim, and ask the question. How much, let's say, not necessarily you personally, but let's just say generally speaking, on a scale of 1 to 10, 10, of course, being, I mean, you just reach a fuse that you're about to blow a vessel, a blood vessel in your head. How important is that for people to really know their tolerance level in a relationship?
I think that's very important. To know your tolerance level, because you never want to get your tolerance level up too high where you're going to blow a fuse anyway.
Okay. All right. Ms. Blake, in your assessment, why do you feel it's so important for one individual to know their tolerance level? I mean, as I think about this, I'm thinking if two individuals are having an argument or a disagreement or discussion, and based on the intensity of that, women may lead with their emotion, where the men may sometimes feel physically challenged and may want to lash out at that physical challenge. Now, for a man and for a woman, how important is it for a woman to safeguard herself to avoid the relationship being intensified to cause the man to become physical? How important is that? Or should she even be with somebody that can't control his temperament?
Okay, those were a lot of questions in there, Dr. Walker. I'll start with the end, because I wanted to talk about tolerance. But going back to you alluding to emotional and physical abuse, and first of all, it's never the woman's fault, or sometimes the woman is the perpetrator, never the man's fault. It's never the person getting abused's fault, other than the sense of how much do you tolerate. So if someone is speaking to you, you know, inappropriately, putting you down, you need to nip that in the bud right away. You know, if you see it's going to continue to happen, you need to cut ties, because that's a clear sign of future activity. But again, you know, a young lady in the grocery store asked me one day, while I'm always trying to get advice on men, you do a show with relationship, you co-host it. How do you determine whether or not you stay with a man? I said, the question is, how much are you willing to tolerate?
Right.
And there are some things that you don't tolerate.
Absolutely. And what are some of those things? Of course, physical abuse, which you're mentioning here. And what are some
physical
of the other things?
Verbal abuse, somebody trying to hold you down. If you are trying to go somewhere in life and that person is not trying to do anything with their life, and actually they're just dragging you down or making you become stagnant, you know,
uh-huh.
Is this person helping you become better off than the day you met them?
You know, and that is
not
interesting. Go ahead.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
Because that's a key component, because, again, that's what I talk about, mutual enhancement. You know, and I'm not just talking about finances, because that's where people go with that. But, you know, to help you be a better person. Or is that person dragging you down?
You know, that is interesting that you mentioned that. We've had a show similar to that, and perhaps we need to do a follow-up to that, because I think a number of people out there, they just think that, oh, I wouldn't tolerate physical or mental abuse where somebody's putting me down or someone is physically harming me. But people fail to realize that if someone is not helping you advance, you know, to get to the next level, and you're trying to get there and they're trying to keep you stagnant, that is also keeping you back. And people end up staying in relationships unaware until later. They wake up one day and say, you know, when I wanted to be a nurse, and my spouse, you know, they did not support me, talking about, you know, making all sorts of excuses why they didn't want me to leave the house to better myself. I agree with you, Ms. Blake. I think that that is something that can set people back later on in life, and then they wake up and realize, you know what, I've allowed this. Tim, we're going to ask you to speak to that issue. What do you think about that when someone tries to stifle your growth, let's call it that?
That's a good question. I don't think you should let them. First of all, you need to be strong enough to make up your own mind and do what you want to do when you want to do it, if it's something positive, for sure, anyway. And if you have somebody who's not backing you strongly on what you want to do and it's to help you grow, then that person is not, you know, not the right person for you. Because anybody
okay.
that loves you wants to see you grow.
All right, but what if you've been in that relationship, let's say, 12 years now, and now in that 12th year you actually woke up and realized that, you know what, you know, I'm missing out on my real dream, the dream that I had from my early childhood still haunting me, but the person that I'm with is not even, you know, supportive. What about in a case like that, Tim, where you don't feel like you want to really leave the relationship because you're so comfortable and you're really in love with the person? I mean, is that an opportunity to walk away? And then, of course, the age factor is in there, too. And we're going to go to Ms. Blake in the phone line in a moment. Give me your thoughts on that. I mean, is it that easy to leave when somebody's 45, 55 to just walk away after that time?
It's not that easy to leave, but I've known people who have, who just said, you
okay.
know what, that's enough is enough, and you know, it's time for me to live my life. I've lived your life for you. Now it's time for me to live mine and go do what I want to do.
All
I
right.
know some people do that.
All right. Ms. Blake, give me your thoughts.
Yeah, you wake up and you make a decision. And I think it may not necessarily prompt you leaving. You need to let that person know, I'm going for it. You know, you're not going to hold me down now. Then that person has a decision. Either you're going to support me or, you know, you can go. Now, it just depends on the situation, but you let that person know that they're not going to hold you back from progress, from pursuing your passion and your destiny. And
All
I
right.
think, as Tim might have said, you have to be strong. You really can't. What's love got to do with it? This is your future you're talking about.
You're absolutely right. I agree with you. We're going to go to the phone lines, 863-412. Welcome to the Dr. Hiswalk Show. You're on the air live. Who do we have this evening?
You have Mr. X.
Mr. X. Thank you for joining us, Mr. X, this evening. Mr. X, let me ask you, let me give you a scenario. We're talking about why relationships are so difficult. And with what Ms. Blake just presented this evening, let me give you a scenario here. And that scenario is, let's just say, for example, you are a life coach, Mr. X. And the person that you're trying to help them get to the next level, this woman comes in. Let's call her Mary. Mary says, my husband of 15 years does not want me to go on and pursue my dream of becoming a nurse. You're a life coach now. What do you tell her? What do you tell her?
I can give her a life experience. And the life experience is mine. I've wanted to do a number of things throughout my life, and my significant other thought I was not capable, or that's not what she wanted to see happen in our relationship, and held me back. And holding me back, there was things that I wanted to do in life that I don't feel complete because I didn't get them done. And if she wanted to move on and to become a nurse, then she really needs to step out and go and do that, because there's going to be a place in her life that she'll feel that she has missed because I'm not doing the things that she wanted to do. she won't feel, be fulfilled.
Okay. So this was a personal thing that happened with you?
Yes.
Is that what you were saying, Mr. X? Okay. Are we going to ask you to stand by just a second? And we're going to go to phone lines even tonight. We're going to go to 407-202. Welcome to the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. You're on the air live. Who do we have with us this evening?
Hello, Dr. Walker. You have Jay from Orlando. How are you, sir?
Fine, Jay from Orlando. Jay, what's on your mind? Did you have? Did you speak to that issue tonight?
Yes, I think I do. It all depends on what situation that you're in at home. You know, are there kids involved? If there are kids involved, well, is the other party working? You know, it's okay to pursue your dreams, but you just can't drop all of your other duties and responsibilities wholesale. So you also have to look at everything, the whole picture. And, you know, sometimes people think that, hey, not right now means no, but sometimes you just have to look at the whole picture.
All right. That's a very interesting point, Jay from Orlando. And let me ask you this, though. If you were a life coach with the same scenario that I gave to Mr. X, would you, and your client came to you and says, hey, I want to be a nurse. And my wife, he's a male, he wants to be a nurse. And he says, my wife is not supporting me, but he's 57 years old. What do you tell him? And your job is to kind of help him to get to that.
Okay. Well, I think for me, what I would do is probably put out a plan on paper to see if it makes sense. Because I could be 57 and I want to be a professional basketball player. Well, does that make sense based off of, you know, my background, my educational history, my athletic ability? You know,
right.
So I think we have to kind of put our goals and dreams on paper and map out a plan to it and just see how realistic.
Okay. All right. All right, let me go to a certified life coach and ask her this question. Ms. Blake, you are a certified life coach, and let me ask you that question. That young man comes, well, this man, 57, he comes and he says, I want to be a nurse. I want to have a career change. And my spouse is not supporting me. What do you tell him, Ms. Blake?
Well, I tell him to explore why his spouse may not be supporting him. And, again, I'm a life coach, not a counselor. People get those roles mixed up sometimes.
Right.
You know, and when I alluded to the answer earlier, I was really talking about singles and not anybody in a marriage situation. But in marriage, you know, there's usually some reason that spouse that objects to it. Hopefully, if this person is a rational person, if the person has a mental health issue, it's different. But it could be, you know, responsibilities, the increased responsibilities. It could be financial, or it could be some deep-rooted insecurity on the part of the spouse. So I think I would really encourage the gentleman to discuss it. And that we still map out a plan because I truly believe if people feel directed by God to do a thing that sometimes your family won't even understand, but you just have to be really sure of who's the direction you're supposed to be going in.
Mm-hmm. Now, you know, Ms. Blake, you did mention that you are a life coach as opposed to being a counselor, and I agree with you because people do get confused even when I present to them. But oftentimes people will look at a life coach as somewhat of a person giving them some counsel. Now, so you'll probably get a lot of people that come to you with that, with the expectation that I'm looking for some answers, even if the answers mean coming from a therapeutic perspective of bringing the answers out of them through your format of questioning. So let me ask this question here, and let me go to Mr. X. Mr. X, and that question is, when it comes to, if someone came to you, another scenario based on, woman comes to you and she says, I'm pregnant, but it's not my husband's child, and I'm sure of that because he was gone away for a while. But when he came back, I tried to do the math, and I know it's not his kid. Now, it sounds like an issue for counseling, therapy, marital counseling, and so forth, but she comes to you with that expectation as a life coach, and she says, this is what's going to make my relationship so difficult. But I love my husband. I just had a, I got lonely while he was away. What do you tell her, if anything, Mr. X?
Make sure our life insurance is paid up.
Oh, wow.
Okay. Make sure your life insurance.
Yes. She is going to have to do a lot of praying and soul searching, because that is something she's going to have to approach him with sooner or later, and it's better sooner than later. She's going to have to look at some alternatives, you know. She's going to have to look at some apologies and explanations. She's going to have to confront it straight on. You know, beating around the bush is not going to help. She can play it off, as play it as long as she can, and just kept saying it's his. And how the law reads, it's still going to be his. He still is going to be responsible for it, even though it belongs to somebody else. If they're married, it's still his.
Okay. All right. Let me go to Tim. Tim, let me ask you this question. I want you to think or reflect for a moment, if you would, on whether your own parents. Tim, are you with us? All right, let's go to Jason. Okay, Tim. All right, think or reflect for a moment, if you would, on whether or not your own parents taught you anything possible about the opposite sex when you were in elementary school. You know, you learn things to stand in the box and how to share and so forth and so on. Now, chances are they conditioned you to think in a protective manner, which is not bad, but did they educate you in a positive manner demonstrate attributes to you about relationships in the future that you could go proudly and confidently with hope and having a fair chance and making your relationship work? Did your parents, in other words, share things with you that would enlighten you in your thinking about the future in your relationship? Did they do that when you were in elementary school? Do you recall?
Really, Doc? Elementary school? Man, that was so long ago, I can't remember yesterday.
Okay. All right. There's a reason why I'm asking this question. And let me go to Jay from Orlando. Jay, the reason why I ask this question, because I think, personally speaking, that a lot of relationships in dealing and coping with relationships, it's a process. And sometimes you may have an advantage over just watching how your parents interact with each other. That's where a lot of young people learn to deal with relationships, the love that they see transcended around the home with the parents. Now, in the absence of one parent, Jay, let me ask this question of you. Do you think that may have a bearing on kids who may have grown up in single-family homes that they didn't see that of growing up, that it could be a contributing factor to the difficulty in their relationships as they get older?
I think that it could, but more importantly, when you grow up with one parent, you only get one side of, you know, how things are. And when you have two, you get to, well, two functional parents in the home that show love to each other, they also teach you, both teach you things about life from their perspective. So you get two halves to make a whole. And so with that one parent, you're only getting one perspective. And if that's all you have, that's all you have. But, you know, sometimes two are better than one.
Sometimes one is better than two, or two is better than one.
two is better than one in a lot of cases.
Okay. All right. Ms. Blake, based on what Jay has presented here in response to my question, as a life coach, When there's a child who may have grown up and now is a teenager and having relationship issues that they're not accustomed to, because they may have grown up in that single family home, what advice, if any, would you, or what coaching would you give to such an individual who's trying to find some stability within themselves to have a meaningful relationship?
Well, a couple of things. First of all, you have to really get – I would help the individual to get to know who they are, because that's even the premise of my book, Falling in Love with Me. You have to really know who you are before you can bring yourself to join someone in a relationship. But the other thing I need to clear up is just because you grew up in a single-parent home does not mean you haven't seen two-parent interaction model before you. Because you have kids that they have people at their schools, they spend the night at other kids' houses, and they do truly get a chance to see, in many instances, a good model of husband and a wife interacting. But I would tell that person to start with themselves, because I always like to go deep. And you have to start with who you are and coming to understand and validate and be authentic to yourself before you can come in there. Now that you know who you are, now let's work on how you join that with somebody else in a stable relationship.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Did
all
I
right.
answer your question?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, it does. Ms. Blake?
Yes.
Okay, all right. You sound faded out a little bit, so it's difficult
okay.
to hear you. Right. Okay, let me go to...
Are you hearing me now?
Mr. X? Yes, this is much better. Mr. X, why
yes,
do you
sir.
Think why do you think relationships are so complicated or difficult? I mean, in a nutshell, why?
Selfish. People looking
okay.
after self.
Okay. All right. All right, let's stop there with you then. Let me ask all of you all for one word, you know, why relationships are so difficult or complicated. And Mr. X gave us selfish. And then if you would just give us one word and then give us a sentence with that word. Let's go to Jay from Orlando. Jay, why are relationships so difficult or complicated? One word and then a sentence.
Eve.
Huh?
The woman, Eve. Eve from the Garden of Eden.
Oh,
Adam and Eve. Yes, when Adam said, "Lord, this woman you gave me," that's all I'm gonna say.
Hey Tim, you've been smoking.
Wait, no, that's not Tim. Now that's Jay.
Oh, Jay, we're gonna have to get you off
Jay.
The track. I'm going to send an intervention
oh.
team over there, Jay.
Oh, my goodness. Hey, we're going to have to send you a special gift for that one. That was probably one of the best comeback I've heard. Not that I agree with it, with my audience out there. On that note, Ms. Blake, we'll go to ask for your one word. First, we'll ask you to give your rebuttal to what Jay from Orlando said. Then we'll ask you for your one word in your sentence.
And like I said, we just give him an intervention. my one word is baggage. People bring
okay.
baggage to relationships.
Okay. All right. Excellent. All right. We got Mr. X, I believe. Tim, let's go to you now. Give us one word and then your sentence.
I think personality. Different
okay.
personalities.
All right. And your sentence, just different personalities, right? And I will give
yeah,
my
different
one word.
Different
and mine is, okay, personality. Mine is chemistry. Chemistry. And because people don't necessarily gel because the chemistry is off. So, I mean, and I think that, and now we can move on, and I'm thinking, that chemistry is so important in relationships. So I'm going to take the round table here with the various words that you all have said, and let me go at other people with them. Mr. X, let's start with you with personality. Why is it that, you know, Tim has presented personality. Why is that personalities just don't seem to gel, which could cause relationships to become so difficult?
Is their upbringing. The personality could be because they're from a single-parent home or because the personality had been blended from the mother and father or that the you know, you had a large family and now it's just the two of you or you were the only child in the family and now you're having to share.
Okay. All right. I like that. Ms. Blake, give me, what was your word again?
Baggage.
Oh, baggage. You did say baggage. Okay, Jay, let me go to Jay from Orlando. Let me go with you with that one. Baggage. why is this baggage, why does baggage make relationships so difficult?
Well, because it's hard to compete with a person's past. I mean, you're always being compared in one way or another to some past lover or some experience that they've brought in and not completely let go. And so, you know, bringing that baggage in, you can't, I guess you can't get a person to totally eliminate that. So baggage is hard to contend with.
Okay. Tim, let me go to you with Eve. Why would Jay try to get all men in trouble? Why would Jay from Orlando try to get all men? And he was probably in a closet when he said that, if he has a wife close by or a girlfriend close by. Why would Tim say that, get all men in trouble? And he says, Lord, referring back to Adam, Lord, this woman you gave me. Why, Tim?
I like you, Jay. You weren't on the show at the beginning of the show when I said that, and I probably would have got beat up if they were around me, the women were. But like I said at the beginning of the show, I mean, some of it was, women are very difficult specimens to deal with. And I didn't mean, geez, I said specimens. Because women are hard, they're hard to deal with. The emotional roller coaster that they're on, they actually put you on that roller coaster and have you riding along with them sometimes. And it's hard to deal with.
Okay, let's play before we
a lot of
the roller coaster.
I'm sorry, Dr. Walsh, I missed that.
We're going to give you an opportunity to rebuttal with Tim here. Speaking to the emotions of the women, and he says that, and my understanding is, they take you on a roller coaster, and sometimes the men follow along, and I guess that's what Adam did, Jay from Orlando. He was on that roller coaster with her, that he partook of it as well. So is she to blame by herself, Jay from Orlando?
I'm sorry, I missed that, the end of that question.
We were saying that basically, Eve didn't do this thing by herself. Adam followed along with her. So does that mean
well, that's
Eve
easy.
Like
that's, you know what? Eve tricked that man, just like a lot of these women trick men. You think you're getting one thing in the beginning, and then all of a sudden you marry the woman, she starts taking care of herself. You don't cook as much. She's not cooking as much. She's not working out, not combing her hair. You come home from a hard day's work, and she's in a moo-moo. Turn about, give her a hug. I'm like, have you had a bath all day?
Oh, my goodness, Jay.
Did I get off topic?
No, you did, Jay. But... Miss Blake, I know you want to come in, and I know you want to take off all the gloves. I know you just want to put off brass knuckles at this point.
It's okay, because was that just Jay talking? Is that correct?
That was Jay.
No, that was Tim.
Oh, Tim, bless his heart.
Yeah,
well, Tim, we're gonna get you some medication. It's all good. I can give you a good referral. But I must say, I really don't have a rebuttal to part of that. Again, you know, I have a lot of conversation with people here in Atlanta, and, you know, I'm a keep it real kind of sister. And the truth of the matter is women are emotional, and women can take you on a roller coaster. And I think a lot of our female listeners may not like that I'm saying this, but I just keep it real. But women will stand by your side and will love you to the end. So you take the good with the bad. And if you have a woman that's being overly emotional, you know, you might want to find out if she's bipolar or if she's just having some hormonal mood swings and, you know, encourage her to go see her doctor. And I say that seriously. That's all I'll say, man.
Okay.
Dr. Walker.
All right. Yes, go ahead.
Dr. Walker.
Tim, I believe that is. Or Mr. X, go ahead.
Ms. Blake, that medication that you can give me, can you write that prescription for me, because I'm going to need it dealing with this woman that I'm with now anyway.
If I could write some scripts, I think I'd be rich by now.
Well, we're going to go to the phone lines again. You're listening to Life with Dr. Disworks. You're just joining us. We're talking about why relationships are so difficult, part two. Why are they so complicated? And we've heard Jay from Orlando. We've heard different opinions Ms. Blake presented the baggage. I myself personally presented the chemistry is off. We talked about personality that Tim presented. And Mr. X even mentioned that selfish. We gave one word, why people are, the way what causes relationships to be difficult. And then we had Jay from Orlando. They got all the men around the world in trouble because he blamed Eve. And so we're going to go to the phone lines again. Here we have 954-226. Who do we have on the air this evening?
Hi, Dr. Walker. This is Rose.
Rose, thank you for joining us.
Oh, I got to go, Dr. Walker. This is Rose.
Okay.
Thanks for coming on the line, Rose.
We got another woman on the line. Rose, we're going to ask you, Jay from Orlando seems to think that Eve is responsible for all the problems that the man has that has caused relationships to be so difficult. What do you say about that to Jay from Orlando?
I'm shocked about that. Eve, how could Eve be responsible? Adam was just a little bit too weak. You know? Adam needed some backbone.
Oh, my goodness. Now, that is, now it sounds like we got a fight on our hands. Let me go to Mr. X quickly first. Mr. X, was Adam too weak?
Was Adam too weak? Yeah, I think he was PW, and he didn't want to give it up.
Okay. All right. I kind of missed that. Let me go to Jay from Orlando. Jay, in defense,
you mean that was over your head?
Yeah, that was over my head. Bring it back to us again.
He was in love with the body and not the mind.
Oh, okay. All right, I get it now. It was a special thing.
I got it.
Okay. All right, Jay from Orlando, give us your thought on Rose has presented now that it appeared that Adam had no backbone. What do you say to that?
Yeah, I think that's Adam's problem is a problem that a lot of men face, but what Adam didn't realize is that he could have had another one, an upgraded model. So, you know, men, I tell you, you can have an upgraded model. You know, just don't sign on that dotted line. Don't sign on that dotted line.
Oh, Ms. Blake, what do you got to say? He says you can have an upgraded model.
Well, you know, women can get an upgraded model, too, so it goes both ways.
Okay, Rose, what do you say? Do you concur with that?
Of course. It can go both ways. Come on now.
But Dr. Walker,
yes.
they're saying that Adam didn't have a backbone, but wasn't Adam following what God told him to do to deal with this woman? And you see what she did? After he told her to, you know, protect this woman, take care of this woman, and you know, live by this woman. And see what she did? She called
the But he wasn't by her. I got to interject. He wasn't by her when that happened.
She wasn't?
Uh-huh. No, no,
Adam
no.
Wasn't
no,
around.
He wasn't with her at the time. Uh-uh.
No, he was.
Gonna,
he, all right, they,
Rose,
they lay down and they were taking a nap.
Obviously,
and she got up wonderful.
Adam was not doing his job. That's God commanded him to do. Because if he were, number one, he would not let Eve out of his sight. He would have been there to protect her, okay? And number two, God gave him directive, and he followed a woman instead of listening to God. And that's what's the problem with these men these days. They're following instead of leading.
Exactly. Oh, my goodness. We're going to have to continue this one here, but we're out of time for tonight. Let's play. We got a special show coming next week, Ms. Blake. What's the title for that and the
yes.
guest?
The show's about being single, and are some people just destined to be single? We've got a great guest coming on and a great scenario to talk about, so you don't want to miss it. Tell all your friends and your single friends as well.
All right, thank you. On that note, we're out of that. We're going to have a show to follow up about Adam and Eve and everybody giving their opinion. We're going to have an equal share of audience, male and female, when we talk about that one. That ought to be an exciting one. Listen, we're out of time now. We'll continue with food for thought in the weeks to come. But we are definitely out of time. Join us this Friday for your half-hour inspirational program. If you choose to bypass this Friday's show, catch us next Tuesday for that special show that we're going to have. You don't want to miss it. Again, to all my listening audience all over the world, I say good night, God bless, and thank you, God.